Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity of National Review is back today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And, Jim, you know it's going to be a crowded Republican field when you can't even have just one announcement per day. And that's what we're getting today from both Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina. They're both going to have regular announcements, but interestingly, they both made their initial announcements on television. Ben Carson actually doing it on local Cincinnati television, of all places. And here's a couple of clips from him about the fact that he's in and why he's running.
I am announcing my candidacy for President of the United States of America. I represented a lot of the same thoughts that they had. I'm not 100% sure that politics as usual is going to save us. I think we're in a severe problematic situation.
And then this morning on ABC's Good Morning America, former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina throwing her hat in as well.
Yes, I am running for president. I think I'm the best person for the job because I understand how the economy actually works. I understand the world, who's in it, how the world works. I understand bureaucracies, and that's what our federal government has become, a giant, bloated, unaccountable, corrupt bureaucracy.
So there you go, Jim. Both would obviously be massive improvements compared to what we have now. They'll have a chance to make their case to the American people. We've now got five people in the race, and it looks like we'll probably have even more before too long. So plenty of elbow room for the moment, but not for long.
One of the things you kind of wonder about these candidates is that each candidate so far had kind of gotten a week to themselves. Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul. My sense is that both of these candidates are going to have an uphill climb. Both of them have a circumstance in which they are not have not been elected to office before. When, you know, there are a lot of folks that say, well, you should have run something and be more familiar with government than if you want to be president of the United States. Having said that, these are two very impressive individuals. I've written some critical things of Ben Carson in the past, but there's no disputing that, God forbid your child is ever sick, he's the first man you're running to. And to come up in the very tough circumstances that he did, and not only, you know, have a good, happy, successful life, but I think have an extraordinary life and clearly be one of the most brilliant and talented neurosurgeons the United States has ever seen. This is a guy it's good to have on stage. This is a guy who has something to say and isn't just saying this out of political theory, but he's lived it. Particularly with the horrible events in Baltimore last week, kind of front and center in our minds, having a phenomenally successful, brilliant African-American man who grew up in some of the toughest circumstances, talking about what he has seen and what he has learned and what it takes to succeed when you are facing that kind of adversity. Thank God that's up on stage. That's going to be a brilliant thing for Americans to see, whether it ends with Ben Carson in the White House or not. And you can say a lot of that also applies to Carly Fiorina, growing up, starting as a secretary and eventually ending up. A lot of people know about the Hewlett-Packard work. She also was senior VP at AT&T. She also worked at Lucent Technologies, was president there. Advisory board to the CIA and to State Department, a much more diverse range of experience than you might think. Now, again, she hasn't been elected to anything, but for obvious reasons, it's good for Republicans to have a woman up on stage. And I think almost everybody who has seen Carly Fiorina speak lately, since she indicated she was interested in running for president, has kind of come up with this sense of like, wow, she's really good. And being a really good communicator is something the Republican Party needs, and whether or not she's a likely candidate to be president or maybe somewhere in the VEEP slot or somewhere in the cabinet of a future Republican president, these are two very talented individuals. So I think it's going to do Republicans good to have up on stage and see what these individuals can say and what they have to say about the future of the United States.
Yes, they'll definitely have a chance to make their case. Quick follow-up, but in a non-serious way on Carson. He speaks fairly deliberately, Jim, which is absolutely fine. If Jindal gets in the race and they have a chance to have these 90-second statements, do you think Jindal can get twice as many words as Carson in that 90 seconds?
Oh, my goodness. I you know, you listen to when I interview Jindal, I play it back at a slower speed. Carson, you could speak at a slightly faster speed. And together, they could do some sort of mismatched buddy cop movie.
And, of course, Carly Fiorina, one of the things people love about her, she's just relentless in her withering criticism of Hillary's time, especially as Secretary of State, but really throughout her political existence. And that ties it very nicely to our bad martini today. Bill Clinton is now defending the work and the fundraising of the Clinton Foundation. He says there's nothing sinister about getting wealthy people to help poor people in developing countries. There's a couple of statements here that are going to grind the gears of conservatives everywhere. This is the first one. Listen to all the Clintonian doublespeak here. There is no doubt in my mind that we have never done anything knowingly inappropriate in terms of taking money to influence any kind of American government policy. That just hasn't happened. And then when asked, why do you get paid over $500,000 or more for speeches? I've got to pay our bills. So, Jim, apparently that dead broke thing is still a factor as they try to balance their checkbook every month.
I just kind of wish at some point he had said, look, there is no corruption. Of course, it depends on the definition of is. Alternately, I was really, really hoping for some variation of, I want you to listen to me. Greg Corumbus making these accusations. I have not had exceptional relations with that Russian, Mr. Kerminsky, that the Ukrainian deal. Look, it's not like Bill Clinton would never lie to us. It's not like he would ever, you know, use carefully parsed, carefully worded circumstances. There's two or three extraordinary things about this. One is, what's really intriguing is that they almost, the way Bill Clinton talks about this, and certainly her very dismissive response of, oh, this is all conspiracy theory stuff, like, when you're refiling your tax returns, no, it's not a conspiracy theory anymore. Okay, like you did something wrong when you're refiling your tax returns. The information you sent in is not accurate. And, oh, by the way, it just happened to be what foreign governments were giving money to the foundation, which, oh, by the way, was exactly what you had explicitly promised to disclose when you took the job of Secretary of State. It seems like almost Bill and Hillary can't understand why anyone has any problem with this. And they can't seem to understand why the Secretary of State, her husband, and the foundation, taking large amounts of money from foreign citizens and foreign governments while she's making policy decisions that influence those people or that have the interests of those people, like they don't understand why anybody has a problem with that, which is more than a little bit irksome and irritating. And then just kind of the arrogance, like, yeah, well, he might, you know, he's still going to keep doing these speeches. Because he needs the money, right? Like, while she's running a populist campaign, the Clintons are saying, look, hey, we got to make some money, all right? We're entitled to every little bit of money that we get. They're all of a sudden, they're Ayn Rand, right? All of a sudden, it's like, no, hey, I'm out for myself. I don't have to do this for anybody else. The only person who can look out for us is me, and we need that money. Never mind the fact that they're worth $200 million, and if they never made another penny for the rest of their lives, they could live comfortably for the rest of their lives. So there's kind of this fascinating disconnect between they can't even lie effectively about this. You'd think could be a good liar about this. You know, it'd be the Clintons, don't you think, Craig?
They've had enough practice, especially as it comes to fundraising. It's not like this is their first fundraising go around either. So, all right, Jim, let's move to the crazy martini now. And for that, we turn to Garland, Texas. Over the weekend, that's where there was a shooting because two would-be jihadists attacked an event sponsored by the American Freedom Defense Initiative. It was a larger event, but the main focal point was a Muhammad cartoon contest with $10,000 going to the best cartoon depicting Muhammad. Of course, other cartoons have sparked deadly outrage both in the Middle East and most recently in Paris. The two jihadis were killed by security. One security guard was wounded. Apparently, one of the would-be killers tweeted out his plans to attack shortly before he actually did. And Jim, obviously a lot of different reactions to this, but the one that's the most fascinating in the media response to this is not that jihadists attacked an event in the United States or even some reports that ISIS is claiming responsibility, but how dare you hold this contest?
Yeah, there's been some corners of the media that have been like, you know, Greg, it's so offensive. Why would you do it? It's so not nice. And yes, no one should have shot at them and all that stuff. And there's two observations that I'd make about this. One, when somebody declares what you're doing offends me, I can give you a more off-color version. Basically, so what? First of all, if you're Christian, you get offended. Lots of folks in society have absolutely no problem offending you left, right, and center and you know, doing everything. And we've seen Serrano's Piss Christ and the Dung Virgin Mary painting and all, you know, jokes about communion on sitcoms and all, you know, like there's just a lot of stuff that happens that offends you if you're Christian, and you learn to live with it. The alternative to speech is more speech. And if these guys had wanted to protest the Muhammad artwork exhibit, fine, go right ahead. You're free to do that. The second aspect that I find really fascinating about this is you realize that we've effectively created flypaper for jihadists. There was no way that the extreme corners, I'm not even calling the Muslim community, let's say the Islamist community in the United States, as soon as they announced we're doing the Muhammad artwork, somebody came to shoot at him. It was almost a guarantee. They could not resist. Very thankfully, they had somebody armed there who was able to defend them or something like that. And by the way, if you're going to be a jihadist, don't do it in Texas. Okay? Those guys shoot back. That's, you know, go straight to those college campuses where they have those gun-free zones where nobody can shoot back. And everyone's totally convinced they're safe because there's a sign that says, please don't shoot at us here.
Don't give them too much advice.
Here's the thing. If we really want to get rid of domestic terrorists, domestic jihadists, let's just do lots of these. Right, just put up a, hey, we're having a Muhammad artwork contest, and just wait for them to come out of the woodwork, and as they come along, just shoot them. And that'd be a way to kind of thin the herd of potential jihadists here on American soil. I'm a little bit tongue-in-cheek on that, but I do kind of find it fascinating that in a circumstance that almost everybody would recognize that there was going to be violence, there turned out to be violence. And I think it says something about the mentality of these guys, that they could not resist the temptation to try to show up and start shooting people. And again, just a fundamental issue. It doesn't do any good for the media to look at a story like this instead of saying, oh my goodness, how could this happen? Somebody decided to start shooting at a place because they didn't like the artwork. They start saying, wasn't that artwork mean? Was it really necessary? Yeah. Yes, there's a First Amendment, but you know, just stop it. You shouldn't have there's a First Amendment, but. Because once you say the but, you're going to say, I don't really believe in what the First Amendment stands for, which is freedom of expression.
Exactly right. Very well stated. It is amazing how the double standards erupt in situations like this. Let's hope the security guard recovers quickly. Jim, great to have you back. Let's do it again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.